على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد. So last week we discussed the متابعة. This week we are carrying on with the discussion. We finished the discussion on متابعة and we're going on to شاهد. So متابعة we mentioned was any corroboration of a rawi with other people, either you know other classmates, other fellows who are corroborating the information. Either that corroboration is tam, basically on the same level, or it's naqis, which is on the level of the teacher. So mutaba'a gives more fortification. If there is no mutaba'a of a particular riwayat and there are other riwayats which are opposing that, then without the mutaba'a, that riwayat becomes gharib and it becomes shaz. So mutaba'a is important. We move on to the next thing, which is called shahid. وَإِنْ وُجِدَ مَتْنٌ يُرْوَى مِنْ حَدِيثٍ صَحَابِيٍ آخَرٍ يُشْبِهُهُ فِي اللَّفْزِ وَالْمَعْنَى أَوْ فِي الْمَعْنَى فَقَطْ فَهُوَ الشَّاهِدُ. And if there is a matn, text of a hadith, which يُرْوَى مِنْ حَدِيثِ صَحَابِيٍ آخَرٍ, which is reported by another sahabi, and the second report that is reported by another sahabi is similar to the first one in meaning and words or in meaning only, then this is called shahid. So here we have the difference in between the mutabi' and the shawahid or shahid. The mutabi' happens within the same hadith. The sahabi is the same, it's just that there is follow-up within the isnads, okay? So as long as the sahabi is one, then from a technical hadith point of view, it doesn't matter how many isnads there are, how many versions, how many versions there are, it will still be considered as one hadith. However, if the same hadith is narrated by another sahabi, even if they were narrating exactly the same words, then because the sahabi is different, this will be classed as two different hadiths. Does that make sense? So either the mushabaha is in words and meaning, or fil ma'na faqat, or in the meaning only, this is called shahid. Wa mithaluhu fil hadith alladhi qaddamnahu ma rawahu an-nasa'i min riwayat Muhammad ibn Hunain an Ibn Abbas an an-nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the example of a shahid is the hadith of fa'in ghumma alaykum faqdiru fa'in ghumma alaykum faqdiru lahu. This one Imam Nasa'i narrates from Muhammad ibn Hunain, who narrates from Ibn Abbas, from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the same hadith. Remember that the hadiths that we were dealing with last week was narrated by Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So here we've got exactly the same hadith, but the narrator is Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. فَذَكَرَ مِثْلَ حَدِيثِ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ بْنِ دِينَارِ عَنِ إِبْنِ عُمَرَ سَوَاءً فَهَذَا بِاللَّفْزِ. So the words are exactly the same. This is shahid bil-lafz. وَأَمَّا بِالْمَعْنَى فَهُوَ مَا رَوَاهُ الْبُخَارِيُّ مِنْ رِوَايَةِ مُحَمَّدِ بْنِ زِيَادٍ عَنْ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ بِاللَّفْظِ فَإِنْ غُمِّيَ عَلَيْكُمْ فَأَكْمِلُوا عِدَّةَ شَعْبَانَ ثَلَاثِينَ. And as far as meaning is concerned, basically it conveys the same meaning, if not necessarily the same words. What we see from Imam al-Bukhari, from the Tariq of Muhammad ibn Ziyad, from Abu Huraira, so the Sahabi is different. And the words are slightly different. فَإِنْ غُمِّيَ عَلَيْكُمْ فَأَكْمِلُوا عِدَّةَ شَعْبَانَ ثَلَاثِينَ. So in all of the Ibn Umar riwayat, the word Sha'ban doesn't come. And it's not, so here we've got Sha'ban, so which is kind of a ziyada. So it's not same lafz, but the meaning of it is the same. Does that make sense? So the point here is that if the same hadith, as far as lafz and meaning or meaning is concerned, and is narrated by another sahabi, then this is called shahid, it's not tabi'ah. Does that make sense?
Yep. So the hadith we spoke about last week, that's counted as only one hadith.
All of the discussions that we had last week, that counted as one hadith.
And here, yeah, even though they're saying the same thing with the Sha'ban, etc., that's counted as two separate hadith.
Because the Sahabi are different.
Yep.
Yeah, so here's the riwayat from Nasa'i. I've got it here in my notes. Akhbarana Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Yazid, qala haddathana Sufyan an Amr ibn Dinar, an Muhammad ibn Hunain, an ibn Abbas, qala ajibtu mimman yataqaddamu ash-shahru, wa qad qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, idha ra'aytum al-hilala fasumu, wa idha ra'aytumuhu fa'aftiru, fa'in ghumma alaykum fa'akmilu al-iddata 30. So this is fa'in ghumma alaykum fa'akmilu al-iddata 30 is exactly the same words, although there is a bit more details in the Ibn Abbas hadith, which is not found in the Ibn Umar hadith. So this is the hadith from Nasa'i. It is exactly the same hadith, and therefore it's a shahid and not a mutabi' because it's from Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Right. I will give you more examples of Shahid. This is from my PhD thesis, basically how different words can be, you know, as long as the meaning is the same, then the words doesn't necessarily have to be exactly the same. So this is a hadith, Babu Maja'a fi Siwak, from Imam al-Tirmidhi, rahmatullahi alayhi. It says, حدثنا أبو كريب قال حدثنا عبد بن سليمان عن محمد بن عمر عن أبي سلمة عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لولا أن أشق على أمتي لأمرتهم بالسواك عند كل صلاة. That had it not been hard for my ummah, then I would have ordered them to do the miswak at the time of every prayer. This is by Abu Hurairah رضي الله تعالى عنه. Then Imam Tirmizi says, وَقَدْ رَوَى هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ مُحَمَّدُ بْنُ إِسْحَاقِ عَنْ مُحَمَّدِ بْنِ إِبْرَاهِيمِ عَنْ أَبِي سَلَمَةِ عَنْ زَيْدِ بْنِ خَالِدِ عَنِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ. This hadith has also been narrated by Muhammad ibn Ishaq, and the Sahabi at the end is Zayd ibn Khalid. Okay. وَحَدِيثُ أَبِي سَلَمَةِ عَنْ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةِ. So the first one, which is number 22, the first one in the matan, he says, وَحَدِيثُ أَبِي سَلَمَةِ عَنْ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةِ وزيد بن خالد عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كلاهما عندي صحيح. So the hadith of Abu Huraira and the hadith of Zayd ibn Khalid, and the hadith of Zayd ibn Khalid is this one here, which Imam Tirmizi provides. So if you look at it, 23, حدثنا حناد قال حدثنا عبدة عن محمد ابن إسحاق عن محمد ابن إبراهيم عن أبي سلمة عن زيد بن خالد الجهني قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول لولا أن أشق على أمتي لأمرتهم بالسواك عند كل صلاة. It's exactly the same word. So زيد بن خالد الجهني and Abu Huraira's exactly the same words, but زيد بن خالد has extra words. ولا أخرت صلاة العشاء إلى ثلث الليل. قال فكان زيد بن خالد يشهد الصلوات في المساجد وسواكه على أذنه موضع القلم من أذن الكاتب. So Zayd ibn Khalid radiallahu ta'ala, who used to attend the prayers, and he used to have the miswak on the on his ear, like the way that a writer puts his pen on the ear. La yaqumu ila salat illa stanna thumma radda ila mawdi'ihi. And every time he used to stand up for prayer, he used to do the miswak and then he used to put it back, like some of the Salafi brothers do nowadays. Hadha hadithun hasan and sahih. So you can see that the Zayd ibn Khalid al-Juhani's riwayat is a bit more information than the riwayat of Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. However, the original wording, لَوْلَا أَنَ شَقَّ عَلَى أُمَّتِي لَأَمَرْتُمْ بِسِوَاكِ عِنْدَ كُلِّ صَلَاةٍ. Let's see what Imam Tirmizi says. He says, وَحَدِيثُ أَبِي سَلَمَ عَنْ أَبِي هُرَيْرَ وَزَيْدِ بْنِ خَالِدٍ. So Abu Salama is the one who narrates both from Abu Hurairah and Zayd ibn Khalid. عَنِ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ كِلَاهُمَا عِنْدِي صَحِيحٌ لِأَنَّهُ قَدْ رُوِيَ مِنْ غَيْرِ وَجْهٍ عَنْ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ عَنِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ. Because there are more than one path to this hadith from Abu Hurairah. This not to Abu Hurairah. وَحَدِيثُ أَبُو هُرَيْرَةَ إِنَّمَا صُحِّحَ لِأَنَّهُ قَدْ رُوِيَ مِنْ غَيْرِ وَجْهٍ وَأَمَّا مُحَمَّدٌ فَزَعَمَ أَنَّ حَدِيثَ أَبِي سَلْمَةَ عَنْ زَيْدٍ بْنِ خَالِدٍ أَصَحُّ. So there is an ikhtilaf here amongst the muhaddithun as to which one is asah. Remember, I told you that sometimes they deal with the concept of sina'at al-hadithiyya, and it makes no difference to the end product. But within the craft and within the discipline, they want to, it's a bit of a pedantry, but that's fine because it's within the discipline. So there is an ikhtilaf as to which one is more sahih, the narration of Abu Huraira or the narration of Zayd ibn Khalid. Imam al-Tirmidhi is of the opinion the narration of Imam Abu Huraira is more sahih because there are more transmission lines to that. But he says Imam Muhammad, Amma Muhammad, by Muhammad he means Muhammad ibn Ismail, Imam Bukhari. Imam Bukhari is of the opinion that the hadith of Zayd ibn Khalid is more sahih. He hasn't given his reason why, but let's not go into this. So then he says, Wafil Babi. So this is Tirmidhi is very good. Imam Tirmidhi is very good at providing the shawahid, but he doesn't tell us where. These ahadith, he just tells us where the who the narrators are who are doing the shahid, Wafil Babi. And then the ulama have written many, many books on what does Imam Tirmidhi mean by, Wafil Bab. So, there's a book called Kashf al-Niqab, Amma Yaquluhu al-Tirmidhiyu Wafil Bab. And then Imam Ibn Hajar has got another book on doing takhrij of the Wafil Bab of Imam Tirmidhi, rahmatullah. So Imam Tirmidhi says, Wafil Babi, and on this topic, ahadith by Abu Bakr Siddiq, Ali, Aisha, Ibn Abbas, Huzaifa, Zayd ibn Khalis, Anas, Abdullah ibn Amr, Ibn Umar, Ibn Habiba, Abi Umama, Abi Ayyub, Tammam ibn Abbas, Abdullah ibn Handala, Salama, Wasila ibn Asqa, and Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in. So you can see that all of these are shawahid of the hadith of Abu Huraira. As far as the hadith of Zayd ibn Khalid, we have already seen that the hadith of Zayd ibn Khalid is mentioned by Imam Tirmidhi himself. Okay. But then there are other hadiths. I've taken the references out. I can give you the references back. It's in the footnotes, but I didn't add any of the footnotes here. But the hadith of Habiba is exactly the same wording as that of Imam Tirmidhi. The hadith of Zayd ibn Khalid is the one that Imam Tirmidhi mentioned. Number three, Ali, the hadith of Ali, the Prophet said, had it not been for fear of burdening my people, la amartum bis siwaki inda kulli wudu'in or wudu'in. I would have ordered them to do siwak at the time of every single wudu. This is the Hanafi Dalil. Okay. Whereas the Abu Huraira, Zayd ibn Khalid, Ummi Habiba narration says, la amartum bis siwaki inda kulli salatin. Here, Ali radiallahu anhu narration is la amartum bisiwaki inda kulli wudu'in. Yeah, so slight difference, but the meaning is still same. Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu ta'ala, number four, mentioned the Prophet said, had it not been for fear of burdening my people, I would have ordered them to use the toothstick in the morning. Inda kulli sabahin. Again, the core message is the same, it's just slight details. Okay, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala mentioned the Prophet said, using the tooth stick is purification for the mouth and is pleasing to the Lord. The same hadith has also been reported by Aisha and Ibn Abbas. And now, from hadith the number five onwards, we move out of riwayatul lafz wal ma'na and we just go into riwayatul ma'na. As-siwaku mitharatun lil fami wa mardatun lil rabb. And then Ibn Umar, the Prophet said, you should use the tooth stick because it is pleasant for the mouth and pleasing to the Lord. Same as Abu Bakr hadith. Huzaifa, the Prophet used to clean his mouth with two stick when he used to wake up for the Tahajjud prayer, and then so on and so forth. But you can see how some of them are exact words, some of them are the deviance is only by one word, and then some of them are just kind of the meaning is the same. All of these come under Shawahid. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. وَخَصَّ قَوْمٌ الْمُتَابَعَةِ بما حصل باللفظ سواء كان من رواية ذلك الصحابي أم لا والشاهد بما حصل بالمعنى كذلك. Now he's giving you the preferred opinion in the mas'ala. He's giving you the ikhtilaf, and he says some people say that mutaba'at is when the wordings of the hadith are exactly the same. They correspond irrelevant of whether it's by the same Sahabi or it's by different Sahabis. سَوَاءٌ كَانَ ذَلْكَ مِنْ رِوَايَةِ ذَلْكَ السَّحَابِي أَمْ لَا. So for example, the hadith of Abu Huraira and the hadith of Ummi Habiba and the hadith of Zayd ibn Khalid al-Juhani, all three of them, according to this definition, will be mutaba'a rather than shawahid. Yeah. وَشَاهِدُ بِمَا حَسَلَ بِالْمَعْنَى كَذَلِكَ And the shahid is the one where there is just the meaning corresponds, but not necessarily the words. And then a third opinion is وَقَدْ تُطْلَقُ الْمُتَابَعَ عَلَى الشَّاهِدِ وَبِالْعَقْسِ وَالْأَمْرُ فِي سَهْلٌ And sometimes ulama, they use the word mutaba'a to mean shahid, and sometimes they use the word shahid to mean mutaba'a. وَالْأَمْرُ فِي سَهْلٌ So it's not a big deal. The only thing is that when you are, so this will be more like the earlier scholars. The earlier scholars didn't really bog down themselves with these terminologies so much because the terminologies were still in flux. They weren't developed yet. So when you come to the assess the terminologies of the mutaqaddimun, this is like kind of Bukhari and before Bukhari, then you should just be a bit careful that by mutaba'a they may mean shahid, but by shahid they may mean mutaba'a. But later on it became quite consolidated. But the issue is, it's not really a big issue. The reason why is because shahid and mutaba'a, both of them are doing the same job, which is to consolidate the report. Yeah.
Yep.
واعلم أن تتبع الطرق من الجوامع والمسانيد والأجزاء لذلك الحديث الذي يظن أنه فرض ليعلم هل له متابع أم لا هو الاعتبار And know that to seek out the different narrations, narration pathways, to follow the different narration pathways in books which are known as Jawami', you know, Jami' ibn al-Athir al-Jazari, and then Masanid and the Musnadat and Ajza, for those hadithis which once we thought that they were gharib, fard, but then we went to search for different isnads for them. So what books would you kind of look for all of these different isnads? Right, you can go to Bukhari, and then you can go to Muslim, then you can go to Tirmizi one by one, and you can kind of check them. But there are some books that have already done this for you, and these are books called Jawami', right? For example, Jami ibn al-Athir, and then Imam al-Bayhaqi, Sunan al-Kubra. These tend to kind of gather all the different riwayats. Imam Muslim does it a bit, but then later books like Ibn al-Athir al-Jazri's book and Imam Bayhaqi's book, they tend to have collected all of those different sani, so you can go directly to them, and then you will be able to kind of compare. So that's how you do it. And this process itself of tatabbu'u turuq, going to different books itself, you know, to see whether a hadith has mutabi'at and hadith has shawahid, this action itself is called i'tibar. Yeah, i'tibar. And وقول ابن الصلاح and as for Imam Ibn Salah in his مقدمة he has a chapter called معرفة الاعتبار والمتابعات والشواهد that's the chapter knowledge of اعتبار متابعات شواهد قد يوهم أن الاعتبار قسيم لهما وليس كذلك gives the impression the false impression that اعتبار is one out of three from mutaba'at and shawahid. You got three things, mutaba'at and shawahid, and then i'tibar. وَلَيْسَ كَذَلِكَ But that's not the case. بَلْ هُوَ هَيْئَةُ التَّوَصُّلِ إِلَيْهِمَا But i'tibar is the process of how one reaches or ascertains whether there's mutaba'at or shawahid. So if you are doing research into hadith to look for mutaba'at and shawahid, then that the name for that research is called i'tibar. So sometimes when you find a rawi, when you find a rawi and you basically see the rawi's you know, classification of the rawi is da'ifun yu'tabar and da'ifun la yu'tabar. Doesn't mean, so this is where you need technical, knowledge of hadith, and not everybody who's good translators are able to do technical translations, okay? Because i'tibar basically means to rely upon. Sometimes it can mean ibra, and sometimes you know, somebody you can rely upon. And there's a very, very famous translator, I'm not going to mention who, every single time this word came in a translated book, they translated it as giving nasiha from the word ibra. And so I was the editor, so I had to kind of like change every single instances, because i'tibar is a technical term. So when you have the word da'ifun yu'tabar, and then when you have the word da'ifun la yu'tabar, it doesn't mean that this is a weak narrator that you can rely upon, and a weak narrator which you can't rely upon. I mean, yeah, technically, you know, linguistically it can mean that, but it basically means that this is a weak narrator. Despite being a weak narrator, you can use that narrator for secondary evidence as mutaba'ah. And if it's the second one, da'ifun la yu'tabar, a weak narrator, this and you can't even, the weakness is so much that you can't use this narrator as a shahid or mutaba'ah, right? Because sometimes what happens is that you have a narrator and the narrator is sahih, and you can use that narrator as the asal hadith, right? But sometimes the narrator is not that strong, but not weak enough to be rejected. So some the ulama, what they do is they don't reject that hadith, but they use that as secondary or more evidence to bolster and fortify the primary evidence. And Imam Bukhari does that quite a lot. So when we say that Imam Bukhari's book is 100% sahih, what we mean by that is that the usul mas'ala that he is you know, talking about, all of the ahadith are of the sahih. However, he may have a secondary isnads to bolster his primary claim, people who are not of the same level of scrutiny, but they are salihun lil i'tibar. Yeah, does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, watch this space. There's quite a bit of project now happening with AI and content development for digital corpora. So I was reading this fascinating piece of research yesterday about digital hadith corpora. And so this is different from Shamila and others, where Shamila and others are content provided for reading, and all you do is you can kind of just read, nothing else. There's a project which is called OpenITI. It is the biggest Arabic open source corpora that is developed, and then from there different programs are being developed. So from OpenITI, there's a project called Kitab. Kitab is an acronym, knowledge, information of tradition, something like that. And then from there is a program that is being developed for kind of looking at isnad analysis and things like that. And it's fascinating. Like, for example, the author, what the author did was you know, took Imam Aini's Umdatul Qari, which is the Shara of Sahih al-Bukhari, and then did a kind of a word search analysis on frequency. They call it reuse, frequency of words that are found in Aini, that are found in other commentaries, and they found that over 900,000 hits were similar with Imam Qastalani's Irshad al-Sari, which is also a Shara of Sahih al-Bukhari. However, while al-Qastalani mentions Ibn Hajar and Kirmani and others as his source, he does not actually mention Umdatul Qari or Imam Aini as his source. But in comparison, there is a lot of overlap between what he's quoting and what Imam Aini has quoted. So it's fascinating, these open ITI and corpora, and they are going to change how we kind of look at nusus, how we look at Islamic history, even how we look at hadith and how we do isnad analysis. It's still in its rudimentary form, but I have seen like quite a bit of research now done on this, where people are using these open ITI for historical research. I mean, so historical research is one thing, isnad analysis for practice is a different thing. So, you know, there are these fascinating things which are happening. Anyway, any questions before we move on?
No.
Okay. وجميع ما تقدم من أقسام المقبول تحصل فائدة تقسيمه باعتبار مراتبه عند المعارضة والله أعلم. And everything that we have mentioned from the aqsams of the maqbool hadith. So from the aqsams of the maqbool hadith, what did we basically do? We looked at hadith sahih لذاته, hadith sahih لغيره, hadith hasan لذاته. Then we looked at ziyadat al-thiqat. Then we looked at shaz versus mahfuz, and then munkar versus ma'ruf. Then we looked at mutaba'at, then we looked at shawahid and i'tibar. All of these taqseems, the difference is thrown into relief when there is an ikhtilaf or when there is a mu'arada. When there is a mu'arada, that's when we will use those. Mu'arada means contradiction. That's when we will basically marshal hierarchy, and we'll say, well, if there's a Hasan hadith and a Sahih hadith and both of them are contradicting, then the Sahih hadith will be given preference over the Hasan hadith, unless there are other wujuh tarjihat which tells us that the Hasan hadith is to be privileged over the Sahih hadith. Now remember, one of the things here is that in Usul al-Hadith, we are trying to ascertain, again, I'll reiterate that, we are trying to ascertain whether the Prophet ﷺ said those words or not. We are not trying to ascertain whether the Prophet ﷺ could have said those words, or whether those words are in the spirit of the Prophet's teachings, or whether those words, tally with the meaning of the Quran, right? That's a different question. So this is something that the Hanafis in the Usul al-Fiqh of Hadith, they do. They look at this concept called inqita' batin. The Usul Hadith or the Ulum al-Hadith, they don't tend to do that. They're kind of more religiously focused on, did these words that are purported to come from the Prophet Islam, did the Prophet Islam actually utter them? Not whether they may be in the spirit of the Prophet's teaching and therefore he may have said it. They're not interested in that. They're interested in, did the Prophet ﷺ say it or not? So that's the thing that we need to keep in mind. Yeah. Sometimes people make this. They say, well, you know, there's so many weak ahadith in Imam al-Ghazali's book, Ihya Ulumuddin, but that's okay because they exude the spirit of the prophetic teachings, and nobody's disputing that. But the question is, did the Prophet say it or not? That's the question. It's not whether it corresponds with the teaching of the Prophet. Nobody's disputing that it does, but did the Prophet actually say that or not? That's the question. It's two different things. ثم المقبول ينقسم أيضا إلى معمول به وغير معمول به. Then the maqbool, remember the maqbool hadith is the one that is accepted. The maqbool is divided into that maqbool which one can accept or act upon, and that maqbool, meaning that it might be sahih, وغير معمول به, that one cannot act upon anymore. Yeah, so the hadith is sahih, but we are no longer able to act upon it. So, for example, Imam al-Tirmidhi says, "Jami'u ma fi hadha al-kitabi ma'amulun bihi illa hadithain." That every hadith that I mentioned in my book, Sunan al-Tirmidhi, some scholars have practiced upon them, other than two hadiths. Hadith number one is the hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, where Ibn Abbas say that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did jama'ah between the Maghrib and the Isha. He wasn't traveling and there was no heavy rain. And when he was asked why, he said to make it easy for this ummah. Imam al-Tirmidhi says nobody from the fuqaha of any madhab have actually practiced this hadith. Then even though this hadith is sahih, but because it's غير ma'mool bihi, is غير maqbool. And the other one is that if a person gets caught drinking a fourth time, then kill them. So that's the hadith, the second hadith that has not been practiced upon. Another example can be the hadith of Sahih al-Bukhari, where the Prophet ﷺ says that once a husband and wife, they make love, the way that they can purify themselves from janaba is to do wudu. Okay, once they do wudu, then they're purified from the janaba. But we all know that purification from janaba requires a ghusl and not wudu. Therefore, this hadith is mansukh. Okay, it's sahih, it's maqbool, but غير معمول به. This is what it means. لأنه إن سلم من المعارضة أي لم يأتي خبره يضاده فهو المحكم وأمثلته كثيرة. Because if the hadith is free from any kind of معارضة contradictions, i.e. there's nothing that is contradicting this, then this is called the steadfast hadith, محكم. There are many examples of that. Innama al-amalu bi-niyyat buniya al-islamu ala khams. All of those hadiths, there is no contradiction. So these are called muhkam, right? Wa'in urida. However, if there is a mu'arada in the hadith, then there are a number of scenarios. Fala yakhlu imma an yakuna mu'ariduhu maqbulan mislahu aw yakuna mardudan. Either the hadith which is opposing this first hadith is of the same epistemic level as the maqbool, or it's on a different level, aw yakuna mardudan, or it's on a different level, right? So if one is on sahih and the other one is da'if and both of them are contradicting, there's fathani la athara lahu li'an al-qawiyya la yu'athar fihi mukhalafatul da'if. If it's the second one, i.e. mardud, like a weak hadith is going up against a sahih hadith, لا أثر له, it will have no effect because the qawi does not get affected in the mukhalafa by the da'if hadith. Okay, so we would just reject the da'if hadith, straightforward. وَإِن كَانَتِ الْمُعَارَضَ بِمِثْلِهِ. However, if the mu'arada is of the same level, then, so both of the hadiths are sahih and of the same level, then what do we do? He says, again, there are different scenarios. فَلَا يَخْلُو إِمَّا أَيُّمْكِنْ الْجَمْعَ بَيْنَ مَدْلُولَيْهِمَا بِغَيْرِ التَّعَصُّفٍ أَوْ لَا. So either, scenario number one is that we are able to reconcile between their meanings without any strained argument, without having to make too much, do gymnastics and strain the arguments. We're able to reconcile between them. Or we are not able to reconcile between them. We are not able to awla. We are not able to reconcile between them. If that is the case, fa'in amkan al jam' fahuwa an naw' al mus'am. Or we are not able to reconcile between them. So then he says, if we are able to reconcile between the two hadiths, then this is known as mukhtalif al hadith. Right, mukhtalif al-hadith. So when you are able to, two hadiths which are apparently contradictory, and you are able to do jama' between them, then this process is called mukhtalif al-hadith or ikhtilaf al-hadith. وَمَثَلَ لَهُ. So the first person to have written a book on this topic is Imam al-Shafi'i. Imam al-Shafi'i, rahmatullahi alayhi, has a book called Ikhtilaf al-Hadith. And then after Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayh, there is another scholar by the name of Ibn Qutaybah al-Dinuri. Ibn Qutaybah al-Dinuri, he has a book called Ta'wil Mukhtalaf al-Hadith. Yeah. And then the other scholar who has written on this is Imam al-Tahawi. Imam al-Tahawi has written two books. Number one is Sharh Ma'ani al-Athar, which is what we call the Tahawi Sharif, four volumes. The interpretation of the meaning of a hadith, and then the other one is Sharh Mushkil al-Athar, which is a bigger volume, and one of my friends from Australia, Sadiq Ansari, Mir Sadiq Ansari, who just finished his PhD thesis on this topic of Sharh Mushkil al-Athar. So these are books where there's a seeming contradiction between two ahadith. So these scholars will take up, you know, the contradiction and will do jama' between them. Okay, so this genre is called Ikhtilaf al-Hadith or Mukhtalaf al-Hadith. وَمَثَّلَ لَهُ إِبْنِ الصَّلَى بِحَدِيثِ لَا عَدْوَى وَلَا طَيْرَةَ The example that Ibn Salah has given of jama' between, or or the example of ikhtilaf al-hadith is the hadith of la adwa, wala tirata, wala hamata, wala buma. That the Prophet ﷺ says that there is no such thing as bad omen and diseases are not contagious, right? That is Bukhari hadith, that is contradicting another Bukhari hadith, firra min al-madzumi, firara ka min al-asad, that the Prophet ﷺ says, run away from the leper the way that you run away from lions. Wakilahuma fi sahihi wa zahiruhuma at-ta'arud. Both of them are in as-sahih, or in the sahih books, and apparently they are contradictory, because in one instance the Prophet ﷺ is saying that the there is no such thing as contagion, and in the other one the Prophet ﷺ is saying, well, run away, run away from the leper the way that you run away from the madzum. And we find this in the incident of the Ta'un Amwas in Syria, when the Ta'un Amwas happened during the time of Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the leader of the Muslim army in Amwas was Abu Ubaid ibn al-Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And Abu Ubaid ibn al-Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the morale of the Muslim army was low, so Abu Ubaidah, he invited Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala to come and talk to them so that he can rile up the crowd and bring up their spirits. But as he was moving towards Amwas, some of his close confederates and companions said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, don't go into Amwas because there is a plague there and people are dying. And, individual people die, then that's bad. But if you were to die, if something happens to you, then that will be a blow to the entire Muslim world. So please don't go. So Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab decided not to go, and he started turning around and coming back to Medina. At that time, Abu Ubaid ibn Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala, who became quite sad, and he said, Atafirru min qadarillah, ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, that, oh, are you running away from the qadr of Allah, O Amir al-Mu'mineen? And Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala said, Afirru min qadarillahi ila qadarillah, that I'm running away from the qadr of Allah to the qadr of Allah, saying that both of them are within the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Sayyidina Abu Ubaid ibn al-Jarrah, later on, he actually died of the plague in Amwas. So, وَكِلَاهُمَا فِي الصَّحِيحِ وَظَاهِرُهُمَا التَّعَارُدِ وَوَجْهُ الْجَمْعِ بَيْنَهُمَا. And the way that Imam Ibn Salah reconciled between those two ahadiths was, أَنَّ هَذِهِ الْأَمْرَادِ لَا تُعْدِي بِطَبْعِهَا لَكِنَّ اللَّهَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى جَعَلَ مُخَالِطَةَ الْمَرِيضِ بِهَا لِلصَّحِيحِ سَبَبًا لِإِعْدَائِهِ مَرَضَهُ. That these diseases in and of itself do not have the capacity to be contagious. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have made the mingling, intermingling with people who are inflicted with these diseases a cause, a sabab, a secondary cause for the disease to be passed on to somebody else. So although he's being very careful that things don't, there is no primary cause to anything, and the primary cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, he's saying that the asbab, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put down asbabs, and normally there is a cause and effect. And this cause and effect, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates it in those things, but this is the cause and effect. But sometimes the ثُمَّ قَدْ يَتَخَلَّفُ ذَلِكَ عَنْ سَبَبِهِ كَمَا فِي غَيْرِ مِنَ الْأَسْبَابِ. But sometimes, even though the cause is there, there is no effect, right? So, and this is, Imam Ibn Salah, in his, whilst Imam Ibn Salah was Shafi'i, but in his Aqidah, he was more kind of Athari. So this actually is quite corresponds with Athari Aqidah. It's the Ash'aris who do not believe in primary causes and asbabs. But here Imam Ibn Salah is basically talking about asbabs, and in the real world, in our experiential world, asbabs do have an effect, but that doesn't mean it always has an effect. And so that's how he does jama between them. But Imam Ibn Hajar basically rejects that, because Imam Ibn Hajar is the archetype Ash'ari, and he rejects that. He says, وَأَوْلَى فِي الْجَمْعِ أَن يُقَالْ. It is better in reconciling between these ahadiths that, you know, Ibn Salah should have said, إِنَّ نَفْيَهُ لِلْعَدْوَى بَاقٍ عَلَىٰ عُمُومِهِ, that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that لا عدوى, then that remains constant. And therefore, there is no diseases which is contagious. Diseases do not become contagious, right? وَقَدْ صَحَّ قَوْلُهُ وَلَا يُعِدِي شَيْءٌ شَيْءًا. And the Prophet words that nothing is contagious, nothing moves on to others. Sahih. وَقَوْلُهُ لِمَنْ عَارَضَهُ بِأَنَّ الْبَعِيدَ الْأَجْرَبُ يَكُونُ فِي الْإِبْلِ الصَّحِيحِ فَيُخَالِتَهُ فَتَجْرَبُ حَيْثُ رَدَّ عَلَيْهِ بِقَوْلِ فَمَنْ أَعْدَ الْأَوَّلِ. So somebody might say, well, what about the hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is talking about do not put healthy camels with, you know, ill camels, because, you know, the healthy camel will also get ill. Somebody might use that hadith as an evidence that, well, diseases are contagious. The Prophet told us not to do that. So the answer to that is that Imam Ibn Hajar says that the Prophet said to that person that, okay, if you believe that it's the diseases which is being contagious and moving on to the next camel, then who do you think gave the disease? Where do you think the disease came to the first camel? So this is a rad, that no, the diseases do not actually, diseases are not contagious. It's Allah allows it. The same way that Allah gave the disease to the first camel, that's the way that Allah gave the disease to all of the camel. فَمَنْ أَعْدَ الْأَوَّلِ يَعْنِي أَنَّ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَىٰ اِبْتَدَأَ بِذَلِكَ فِي الثَّانِي كَمَا اِبْتَدَأَهُ فِي الْأَوَّلِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spontaneously, remember the Ash'aris believe in the concept of kasb, occasionalism, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is practically involved in all the minutiae details of khalq af'al al-ibad. So anna Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ibtada'a bidhalika fi sani, that Allah gave it to the second camel in the same way that Allah gave it to the first camel that had the disease. So Imam Ibn Hajar here is becoming the pure Ash'ari. Ash'aris have not moved beyond Newton. They do not believe in first causes. It is shirk according to Ash'aris to basically say that if you take medicine, paracetamol for a headache, that after taking that paracetamol, you got cured. That will be shirk according to them, because you've taken out Allah from the occasion. So for them, it's a matter of aqidah, is that there is no such thing as cause and effect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes the cause and the effect. So here Imam Ibn Hajar is going a bit onto Kalami argument, because he's disagreeing with Imam Ibn Salah. Like I said, Imam Ibn Salah in his aqidah was more athari. Imam Ibn Hajar was ash'ari. So then what about the hadith of the Prophet says, firra min al-madzumi kama tafirru min al-asad. So he gives a answer to that. He says, وَأَمَّا الْأَمْرُ بِالْفِرَارِ مِنَ الْمَجْزُومِ فَمِنْ بَابِ سَدِّ زَرَائِعِ. As for the hukum of Prophet saying, run away from the leper, is for سَدُّ الزَّرَائِعِ. Right, لألا يتفق للشخص الذي يخالطه شيء من ذلك بتقدير الله تعالى ابتداء لا بالعدوى المنفية فيظن أن ذلك بسبب مخالطته. So that a person لألا يتفق للشخص الذي يخالطه شيء من ذلك, so that a person who happens to be mingling with a person who has got that disease, coincidentally at that time, Allah willed for that person to be ill, and that person became ill because of Allah's will and not because the disease is contagious. that that person at that moment of coincidence thinks فَيَظُنُّ أَنَّ ذَلِكَ بِسَبَبِ مُخَالِطَتِهِ فَيَعْتَقِدُ صِحَةَ الْعَدْوَى, that he thinks that the disease came onto him because of his intermingling with the diseased person, and then he starts believing that diseases are contagious. فَيَقَعُ فِي الْحَرَجِ and فَأَمَرَ بِالتَّجَنُّبِهِ حَسْبًا لِلْمَادَّةِ. As a result of this, he falls into problems with his aqidah. Now his aqidah of gaining this disease or getting this disease moves away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to material things. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to not taint people's aqidah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, well, stay away from these people. Stay away from ill people. فَأَمَرَ بِتَجَنُّبِهِ حَسْبًا لِلْمَادَّةِ وَاللَّهُ عَلَمْ, that Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam told them to stay away from these ill people so that their aqidah is not destroyed or is not disrupted. So Imam Ibn Hajar is very clear here, right? Diseases are not contagious, right? You can be in the middle of people who have got severe COVID, and yet it will be shirk for you to, and if you were to get COVID, it will be shirk for you to believe that COVID transferred onto you, right? It just happened that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you COVID at that moment, not that the COVID was transmitted from another person to you. And the reason why the Prophet ﷺ said فِرَّ مِنَ الْمَجْزُومِ كَمَا تَفِرُّ مِنَ الْأَسَدِ, so that people's aqidah, their pristine aqidah towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the primary causer, does not get tainted by these coincidences. Okay, so that was a bit of a tangent, that Imam Ibn Hajar did, because, he gave that particular example of Imam Ibn Salah, pointing out that this is the example that he used, but Imam Ibn Hajar felt that it wasn't a response which was more palatable to his Ash'ari sensibilities, so he decided to kind of give a response which is more in line with Ash'ari Aqidah. If you look at Imam Ibn Hajar, has a book on Ta'un, and in there he's very clear that ta'un are not, contagious. There's a very interesting debate by two Andalusian scholars during the Black Plague, the Black Death or the bubonic plague in Europe. These were Andalusian scholars who lived through the plague. And the question was basically on, so Ibn Lubab and Ibn al-Khatib. Ibn al-Khatib was the teacher. Ibn al-Khatib was the student. The other person was the teacher, but Ibn al-Khatib was a politician. He was a better scholar. Ibn al-Khatib was of the opinion that diseases transmit, and he is basing his opinion on Ibn al-Lub, he's basing his observation on empirical data and people who are dying in front of him. He's basing his opinion on that. Ibn al-Lub, his teacher, was purely taking a textual approach, like Ibn Hajar, Asqalani rahmatullah, and was, towing the Ash'ari line, saying that diseases are not contagious. This is interesting. Piece of research done on this by an Oriental scholar called Stephanie something. I can send you that work if you want, but it's very interesting. Ibn al-Lub and Ibn al-Khatib on this particular question. But this question of adwa and tayarata and contagious is by and by. Imam Ibn Hajar just decided to discuss that. It's the principle that he's talking about, which is if you're able to do jama'ah between two ahadith, then you do jama'ah without stretching the meaning too much. Hajar's interpretation is that the firra min al-majzoom is so that people's aqidah is not disrupted and tainted by mere coincidences. Okay, are there any questions before we move on? We've got a few more minutes left.
If I missed this, so with you've got maqbul, and then within maqbul you've got ma'mul bihi and ghayr ma'mul bihi, and then if there's nothing that kind of opposes it, then you've got the maqbul. So the ma'mul, if there's nothing that opposes it, you've got muhkam.
Yeah, that's called muhkam.
Yep. And then if there is something that opposes it, then it's either it's on the level of maqbul or it's not. If it's not, then you don't have nothing to worry about. It's rejected. And then if it's on the level of maqbul, either you can reconcile between the two, in which case it's called mukhtalif hadith. And you know, the other option is that
it's actually called mukhtalif al hadith. Mukhtalif with the fatha. Mukhtalif al hadith. I don't know the person. But مختلف is not it's مختلف الحديث. Yeah. So that's one.
Yep.
If you can't do jama, then he's gonna talk now what you should do in that situation. Yeah.
Okay.
So he's only given one, and he's kind of extended the discussion because he wanted to kind of just clarify the Ash'ari positions because he doesn't agree with Ibn Salah on this point. That's all it is basically.
Okay.
He just wanted to get seen. وَقَدْ صَنَّفَ فِي هَذَا النَّوْعِ النوعي الشافعي Imam al-Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi has written a book on this called اختلاف الحديث. Okay, I have it here. It's a very, very good book. لكنه لم يقصد استيعابه, but he did not intend to collect all of the ahadith which are contradictory. وصنف فيه بعده ابن قتيبة والتحاوي وغيرهما. Then Imam ibn Qutayba in تأويل مختلف الحديث, and Imam Tahawi in شرح معاني الآثار and شرح مشكل الآثار have done these kind of works. And then there are many other scholars have done this even in the we get that in the shuruhat as well. The genre of shuruhat, the ulama, they also take up contradiction between ahadith and they do that. Yeah. So now we come to the wa'illam yumkin al jam' fala yakhlu imma ay yu'raf at tarikh aw la. If you are not able to reconcile, okay, if you're not able to jama, then either you can privilege one over the other or with dating it, awla, or you can't even date it. فَإِنْ عُرِفَ وَثَبَتَ الْمُتَأَخَّرُ بِهِ أَوْ بِأَصْرَحْ مِنْهُ فَهُوَ النَّاسِخُ وَالْآخَرُ مَنْسُوخُ. If you know the dating, okay, so he said, if you can't do jama, then what you need to do is you need to privilege one riwayat over the other. How do you do one riwayat privilege one riwayat? So this is what is called tarjih, right? You do tarjih. How you do tarjih is you do tarjih by dating, okay, and or some other forms. If you do tarjih by dating, then the later one is known as the nasikh, and the early one is known as the mansukh. So here we go into the idea of nasikh mansukh. The later one is the abrogator, and the early hukum is the mansukh. Quite straightforward. والنسخ رفع تعلق حكم شرعي بدليل شرعي متأخر عنه. Nasikh is to abrogate the shari'i hukum of the shari'i hukum by another late shari'i hukum. والناسخ ما دل على الرفع المذكور. And nasikh is the one that that indicates towards the abrogation of that hukum. وتسميته ناسخا مجازا. And to call it nasikh and mansukh, or that the text, the later text is nasikh, is majaz. Because لأن الناسخ في الحقيقة هو الله تعالى. Because in reality the nasikh is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, this is coming back to this Ash'ari that the hadith doesn't really have it's just majazan, but it's actually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who's the nasikh and not the hadith itself. Yeah, like it's a minor point. But how do you know nasikh? Yeah. So he says, by dating, or even more clear than that. So he's going to give us some examples of how we know nasakh. Asrahuha ma warada fi nasi ka hadithi Buraida fi Sahih Muslim. You know, the the most clearest one is that the Nasikh and Mansukh, both of them are found in the text. So the Hadith Burayda al-Aslami radiallahu ta'ala in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet says, Kuntu nahaytukum an ziyaratil qubur fazuruha fa innahu tudhakkirul akhirah. That I used to refrain you from doing visiting the graves, but now zuruha, go and visit the graves because it reminds one of the akhirah. So here we find that the Prophet ﷺ in the hadith, this tasrih, clear indication the Prophet ﷺ used to do something, and now he's basically saying, well, don't do that, now do this. So he stopped people from going to the graveyard, and now he's saying, go to the graveyard. Does that make sense?
Yep.
ومنها ما يجزم الصحابي بأنه متأخر كقول جابر رضي الله تعالى عنه كان آخر الأمرين من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ترك الوضوء مما مست النار أخرجه أصحاب السنن. That the Sahabi clearly mentions that this action is mutaakhir. For example, Jabir ibn Abdullah says that the later of two of the actions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on a particular manner is that tarkul wudu mimma masat an-nar, that one does not need to do wudu after consuming things that have been heated by fire. Okay, there's another hadith by Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, narrated by Imam Tirmizi, al-wudu' mimma masat an-nar. Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that the last of the Prophet's action is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not do wudu' mimma masat an-nar. Yeah.
Yep.
So these are tasrih. These are tasrih. Sometimes you don't get tasrih, sometimes you have to date the tradition. ومنها ما يعرف بالتاريخ وهو كثير, and there are some which are, there is dates. ما يعرف بالتاريخ, and there are many of them, so I may have some examples here in my notes. Let's have a look. Right, so there is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by Shaddad ibn Awsa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, after al-hajim wal-mahjum. And then there's the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam ihtajama wa huwa sa'imun. Shaddad ibn Awsa says that the hajim, and the person who does the hijama, and the person upon whom the hijama is done upon, both of their fasting is broken. And Ibn Abbas says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did hijama whilst he was fasting. So again, I mentioned some notes here. How did Imam Shafi'i says that the second is Nasikh, the first one is Mansukh. How did he come to that conclusion? In the context of the hadith of Shaddad is that the Prophet saw someone in the year of Fath Makkah, 8 Hijri, that he was doing hijama. Whereas Ibn Abbas saw the Prophet during Hajj that he was doing hijama, and the Hajj of the Prophet was in the 10th Hijri. So because Ibn Abbas's observation is more later than the observation of Shaddad ibn Aws, then we actually have a date here. Okay, not every single time you're able to date, but here we are able to date. So Ibn Abbas is Nasikh, and Shaddad ibn Aws is the Mansukh. Yeah. Okay, we'll leave it. وَلَيْسَ مِنْهَا مَا يَرْوِي الصَّحَابِي الْمُتَأَخِّرِ الْإِسْلَامِ مُعَارِضًا لِلْمُتَقَدِّمِ عَنْهُ, because there's quite a lot of discussions on this, on this Sahabi, two Sahabis, if they narrate and one is later in Islam than the other, then what do we do? Do we call it a Nasir? It's a bit complicated, so we leave that for next week, inshallah. Are there any questions?
The type where you can't reconcile. So within that, the Musanna says you give preference to one another either by dating or other means, and then it comes down to Nasikh and Mansukh. Is that regardless of whether it's done by dating or other means?
So he's basically saying, so this is all Nasikh and Mansukh. One of the ways of doing Nasikh and Mansukh is by dating, right? What he's saying, there is sometimes You know, so dating basically means that you need to go and do the research yourself. And sometimes it's based on your perception or based on your research, right? But there's a more clear way, which before dating, which is much more clear, is when the Sahabi himself tells us, you know, kana akhirul amrain, right? That is much more stronger than nasikh and mansukh. Does that make sense?
Okay, yes, understood.
Yeah, so there's different ways of doing nasikh and mansukh. One is dating, but there's a more clear way, and that is the Sahaba says, you know, the Prophet says, kuntu nahaytukum an ziyaratul qubur fazuruha. That's more tasrih than having to guess what is nasikh and what is mansukh.
Yes, understood. Right.
Okay, jazakumullah khair, inshallah. I will see you next week. Thank you.
Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.